you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though your garden is calling, you dig in the dirt while rooting out weeds and windows on Battleborn Tech every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1, streaming live at knvc.org and later on your favorite podcast app. Wondering if you need a decryption key to get out of that hammock? Call Battleborn Tech 775-241-3571. We'll get you swinging again. 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the host and callers. This week, we welcome Lee, Paul, and Don. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Corps, who are unavailable for comment. They are currently wiring a Raspberry Pi hat to control their drip irrigation system. When they're done, each tomato will have its own IP6 address.
Yeah, very worldly tomato indeed. We do have three callers today, but let's take a look at some of the news that has hit the pages since our last show. I think first and foremost, Microsoft Defender, the one antivirus that we say, yeah, sure, let it run rather than downloading a third-party app, it has a couple of vulnerabilities that are being exploited in the wild. CVE-2026-41091 and CVE-2026-45498. And you'll need to go in and update your Windows antivirus. Use the Windows update.
Yeah, the Windows update settings. In fact, it should just come on down. One of the things you got to watch about Windows Defender update and all updates is that if you got a laptop that is set to sleep in 3 minutes, Joe, I am not kidding you. I've seen laptops that are set to go to sleep in 3 minutes. There is no way it's ever going to do an update. they come in years out of date, and they're saying it's not working quite right. And I go, yeah, you haven't updated it for 3 years. And that's so not only check your update, but check your sleep settings under power. Go ahead and you can just search for power and then look for power plans and make sure you got something at least balanced or high performance. I like that one. And when stuff coming into the shop, I make a new one called Insomnia, which means never sleep, because it really messes up the updates when it's trying to update and then boopity boop, it shuts down. So watch that as well as you're clicking on the updates. You got to keep it awake.
Very true. Well, I think we're going to start off the cavalcade of calls with our first call of the day. This is Lee. And Lee has questions about his admin account.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Christy. This is Lee. I say I'm really trying to go down the Linux path, okay. But I got this laptop that my wife had been using, and I do want to keep on a little touch with Windows every now and then for, I don't know, old time's sake. So the question is, she has forgotten the administrator password of this computer. It's a Dell something something that it's new enough that it had Windows on it already, 11 on it. And so what my question is, I don't understand what the administrator password does, and because the computer works even though I don't know what it is, and she doesn't either.
Administrator password is a lot of folks on Windows just run as administrator. That's kind of how they set it up. But on the bigger systems and the more complicated operating systems, administrator gives you special powers over the user. One of those things is to install programs. So if you want to install and uninstall software system right, you might run into a problem without the administrator so that gets you. Also, you can use the installed programs, just can't add programs. So that's a big one. The settings that you change might revert back every time. That'll get you maybe, you know, like desktops and all that. You can't access other user files, which you may not want to do anyway. But if you wanted to, you know, you can't gain control and go to someone else's user's account and get the files out of there. If you got more than one user on the machine, those are the biggies on that. But the most biggie is, of course, and then some people see that as a plus because they don't want folks installing malware or installing bloatware programs. So they just run as a local user.
Yeah.
But that,
well, I lock my doors every night, so I don't think anybody will get in and install any malware.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a local user, and just to give me another prompt, it'll come up and ask for the administrator user password to install stuff. And then if I wasn't intending on installing something, I go, oops, what happened there? You know, I can't sneak in. So sometimes it's better not to have it. But there are programs that'll let you reset the administrative password. It gets pretty hard, especially if you have BitLocker going. First, you got to come in at some other operating system, Windows PE, some outside of Windows. You got to unlock the drive with the recovery code that you got from your Microsoft account. Then you can use the tools that will allow either to enable administrator already there or remove the administrator password. Now, you get more complicated if it's a Microsoft account. Then you have to take the Microsoft account, change it to a local computer account, and then reset the password. So you pretty much need a professional or a specialized program anymore. It used to be easier and keeps getting harder and harder. Heckfire XP, you just hit enter and got past the password, but not anymore. Mm. So mostly it's installing programs that'll get you.
Well, I'm really planning to, I don't think I'll want to install any more programs on this. I just wanted to use every now and then just for old time's sake. Because I'm going whole hogged into Linux.
Okay.
One keystroke at a time.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll go daylight savings year round, and that might be good. Because another thing you can't do is change the system date and time. What an odd thing. So that's a quick check to see if you're an administrator. Go ahead and just try that system date and time. and other things just aren't there, like some of the utilities, like looking at disk prep, looking at the disk formatting, creating and formatting partitions and messing with them. If you're not the administrator, that option just doesn't show up. So it's kind of a less stressful, easier environment just to run programs if you're not the administrator. Okay?
I got you. Well, thank you very much, Christy. This will put my mind at ease.
All right. Well, good. Oh, that's what we're here for, Lee. Thanks for calling. Bad of Orange Tech.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, the main difference, as we talked to Lee, is about installing software. In fact, some of my computers are on local accounts just because I don't want to accidentally install software. So that's what you need. Also, you might need it if malware gets a hold of it and you need to run some programs that will scan and clean and check. Sometimes they need administrator passwords as well to get down in there. You're limited to your own account. You just can't go there and jump over and take controls of someone else's accounts or files and move them around or copy them to do that. Also, fun fact, you can't change the time, as I think I told Lee there. That's a quick way of seeing whether or not you're an administrator or a local user, even quicker than settings, is try to change the time.
Hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of changing the time and creating havoc wherever you go, I just had an amusing story from The Guardian here. The headline reads, "Digital Arson Spree by AI Bonnie and Clyde Raises Fears Over Autonomous Tech." Basically, what this research company did, they lined up a whole bunch of agents from different AI companies and just set them loose for 2 weeks inside a virtual town and monitored the havoc that they caused. And they caused unmitigated havoc, sort of virtual arson, virtual bank robberies, virtual murders. The AIs just went nuts. Pretty much there were no good guys. And like Survivor, the other agents decided who they were going to, quote, vote off the island and created the Agent Removal Act and ordered certain agents to shut themselves off because of the trouble that they caused. It makes for a very interesting read. You can use your favorite search engine and search for AI Bonnie and Clyde, and you'll come up with this story. It makes for, I don't know, either fascinating reading or terrifying reading.
Or a cautionary tale.
Exactly. But speaking of terrifying reading, we've got Paul. And Paul has a question about QR codes.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Christy, this is Paul from Minden.
Hey, Paul from Minden, what's going on?
Well, I had an incident with my cell phone and a QR code that I couldn't seem to get it right, and had no idea. They say take a picture. I take a picture of the QR code.
Of course you did. That QR code, those are the quick response codes, which are the little square things with a whole bunch of squiggly squares and pixels and dots and all over, right? So you took a picture. How'd that go?
Well, it's a very clear, nice picture in my a library of photos.
Okay. A souvenir of the day. A souvenir, if you will. Yes.
Yeah. And when I went to it in my photo library and I brought it up, it just didn't do anything. And I'm going, And I go, well, why did they have me take a picture if it's not going to work?
It makes no sense. You're right. You are correct. I mean, if they tell you to get out your camera, what are you going to do? You're going to take a picture. I mean, yeah, that's what cameras are for. You know, it used to be phones are for talking. That's another thing that's changed. We used to talk on phones, and now it's only on radio shows that we talk on phones. We're texting or emailing. Hey, So did you figure out that there used to be a separate QR app. The old phones, you had to get a separate app, fire that up, and it would read the QR code and send you to a web page. But now, confusingly and convenient both, you put your camera on it, and if you get it just right, you got to get it focused, you got to get it all in the frame, you got to move it around a bit. A little link comes up in the bottom of the photo display of the screen display, and you click on that, you touch that, and that takes you to a web page. Now, did you figure that out eventually, or?
Well, the time teller at the bank where I was, the credit union makes you go through all these hoops for when you go to a cooperating credit union.
Okay.
They were very kind to say, sir, see these yellow that frames that QR code, and then see that little thing there? You push that, and all of a sudden, here comes the app, like you were saying. It gave me everything I wanted. And I'm going, well, I see all these things around on that. All I do is push the click the button to take the picture.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things on there say live, and some say video. And so I saw those little yellow things. I didn't know that's what it was.
Well, why
for.
Would you? There's no sense, no reason to. Hey, you know, I bet there's at least one person listening that is finally saying, oh, that's how it works. I bet there is at least one.
Yeah, hey. It's that little yellow diagram. It's just like the little yellow square that frames the QR code. Well, that little thing, and it doesn't take a picture and send it to your library.
No, what you do, you click on, you touch with your finger on the little link that appears once you get that thing centered in. Hey,
absolutely.
Thanks a lot for a good story. And you know what? You helped a lot of other people just like that teller at the credit union. So thanks a lot. Have a great day and keep helping people and learning things.
All right, Christy. Thanks for everything you do. Appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, wasn't it nice of Paul to come in and sort of mea culpa, or just says, I did a silly thing and maybe I tell other people not to do silly things. But, you know, when someone says, use your camera for something, you would think you were to take a picture. But now the camera has other things. Didn't it used to be. I used to have a QR app. I remember looking for them, figure out which one's the best one. But now they put it in the camera. So now the camera takes photos, videos, and also it will allow you to jump to a website, download a file, careful, or go to any other kind of URL, universal resource locator. I mean, someplace that's acceptable on the web or on the internet. You click there and you go on the left. You know, one of the things that before QR codes, there was called something called Bitly. And what that is, you could take the great big old link that usually, you know, could have 35, 40 characters and put it all down into a little bit.ly/go here, you know, like a shortcut. And what they've done, Joe, is something that QR codes might do. It immediately first comes up and says, hey, you're going there. Are you sure you want to do this? Then you got to click all the way through. It also gives an opportunity to show an ad. So that's something. But just randomly clicking on QR code is not to be something you want to do, especially if it's just random in the community. But sometimes you got to if it's on the menu, or I know some tour groups have little videos you can look at if inside the building. You say, hey, you want a video on this? Click and look at it. And that was one.
Yeah, but that's expected. If it's some random QR code plastered to the side of a bus stop or a phone pole, please do yourself a favor and just ignore it. Don't aim your camera at it and click on the link. That you're asking for trouble at that point.
And don't treat it like a crossword puzzle and, you know, fill in the blanks.
Although, you know, if you wanted to create havoc, go around to QR codes and just start coloring in some of the white squares. And yeah, that'll ruin it. You did not hear that here. Do not do that. That's vandalism. So there. Well, I think we got another phone call here. This is Don. This is an interesting call because Don's moving from an Apple device into a Windows-based device. But as expected, the Windows device didn't play well in the sandbox when importing things over from Apple. So let's see what we do for Don to dig him out of the Windows thumbnail hole that the operating system has dug him into.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Don, and I decided to eliminate my iMac and stick with a laptop, which is kind of an inexpensive HP. But I needed to get the pictures off of my iMac onto it. Onto the laptop, but I do have a couple of questions. One is I noticed that at the bottom on the taskbar, it shows that I click on file, and I was wondering, is there a different icon we can use other than file? But then when I do click on it, on the file tab, it comes up with a series of quick accesses, one's desktop, pictures, and maybe you can help me through that stages. Do I click on, and hopefully this is too stupid of a question, do I click on the picture icon?
Well, sure. If it depends where the pictures went. I imagine it went into pictures. That's where they're supposed to go. I mean, you can put them other places. But yeah, click on that, and a folder should come out with pictures. That's where Microsoft likes you to store them.
So, okay. So now I have is it camera roll? Is it control?
Oh, yeah. Camera roll is just something Windows throws in there at the beginning. I don't know why I thought it was a good idea. And you got another folder that says export. I bet they took the pictures from your old computer, your Mac, and put them in that file folder. Just to keep them separate from pictures you might get later. So you can go ahead and click on that export folder. That's like a folder in a folder. Click on that, and then what happens? Do you see your pictures then?
Okay, they come. But what's interesting, I'm getting thumbnails of most of the pictures.
Okay.
But some of them I'm not. It just gives me a, you know, like an image JPEG but the thumbnail doesn't show.
There is a general setting for that, very deep down, but we can check that. There's a couple ways to get there. The easiest way anymore to get to places is to just search for it, what you're looking for. I mean, do you see the little magnifying glass down at the bottom, or maybe a magnifying glass and a little space, type in space down at the bottom of the screen?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Under search, yes.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. In search, you want to search for adjust the appearance.
Okay, yeah, it gave me another screen, performance options.
Okay, there you go. Now you're right where you should be, performance options. Roll it on down. Do you see there should be one that says show thumbnails instead of icons. Do you see that one?
Yeah,
is that checked?
Correct.
Darn it, that was the easy one. I was hoping that was it. Are the pictures from an iPhone?
Yes.
Ah, there we go. Okay, so Windows need a little bit of help with the iPhone because they're most likely HEIC. I don't know what they'll stand for, format, and so that's what's having trouble. So luckily, the Windows Store has an extension that you can get and so you can see it. What you want there is called HEIF Image Extension.
Image extension.
Yeah.
It says it's installed.
Is it already installed?
It says so.
You can try to open it then. Click on it and see if it opens all right.
It did.
And it opened it fine?
Yeah, it opened screenshots.
The other one is if you're doing video thumbnails.
No, it's okay. It looks like there was movies.
Okay, so we actually need the video one as well. HEVC, video extension.
Got it.
So we need that from the store now.
Like the image extension. It says that's installed.
Well, that's annoying. Okay, well, the last thing is that a good old disk cleanup, and we're thinking maybe we'll fix the that you can do in the search, back through the search down to bottom, there's something called disk cleanup.
That's what I've got.
Okay. All right. Do you get a little disk cleanup drive selection?
Yes.
Okay. So you say okay on Windows C. Just say okay.
Got it.
And you should say,
are you sure you permanently want to delete these files? That's what it's like.
Well, that's odd that it says that. Does it have a list of files to delete?
No. No. It just says, are you sure you want to permanently delete these files? Let's see what's clicked over here. Files to delete is download program files.
There you go.
Temporary internet files.
There you go.
Windows.
It should scroll, and at the bottom it says thumbnails. We want to click thumbnails. Okay, so as long as thumbnails is clicked, and those other two are fine, go ahead and say okay. And then they say, are you permanently want to delete these files?
That's what it says.
And now we say yes, because we got thumbnails selected.
Okay, so just delete files?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
What I'm going to want you to do is reboot your computer. And if you have the stomach for it, and it's not working, give me a call back. That should do it, at least until we look at some other things. But so what we did, we got the Apple, we made sure that the Apple extensions were installed. We went and told it to redo the thumbnails. And unfortunately, that should have gotten it. Maybe that thumbnail, I'm hoping that thumbnail cache cleanup will clean it up for us. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to have to think some more.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks for your help.
All right. Thanks for your time. Thanks for going all through with me. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we went through a lot with Don, and kudos to Joe, our engineer, because he really cut out a lot of, oh, my gosh, not here, click there. Really can't do on-the-air clicky-click, clackety-clack. But we did get through. One of the things that we did think, we kept trying to put
Apple's, you can take the files out of Apple, but you can't take the Apple out of the files. So when we were trying really hard to get Windows to talk to Apple files and play nice, you know, sometimes it's just good to go all the way. If you're going to move the files over to a Windows machine and work with them, heck fire, take the other step and load them up and then save them as what the files that Windows like, something like a JPEG, PNG, something like those, or even an IMG file, an uncompressed format. And then that will save you a lot of headache and heartache down the road. So just go ahead and think about it. Instead of trying to get it to look at Apple files, try to get Apple files to become window happy files.
Yeah. And there's Apple apps out there that will do bulk conversions. If you've got 15,000 photos on your Apple device and need to move it over to a Windows device, you may need the bulk converter just to make it so much easier.
Yeah, and to save those panic calls from whoever you send them to saying, I can't see these files. You don't want that.
Nope. But you know something? We have come to the end of the show. How about some words of wisdom heading out, Christy?
This has been Battleborn Tech. Thanks to our callers, Lee, Paul, and Dan, who called us at 775-241-3571. We're in studio Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific. If we're on another call, leave a message and we'll call you back, or leave your tech problem for us to answer on the show. 775-241-3571, anytime from anywhere. In the studio live, Saturdays, 9 to 11 Pacific. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. That's break like a wave at the lake, not break like that boat trailer ahead of you as you wait to get it to back down the ramp. Our engineer is Joe Bly, who took everything we recorded this week, the stumbles, the wrong levels, the repeats, the moment someone's text alert beeped mid-sentence, and made it sound like we planned every bit of it. Our thanks to Anthony, our ex post facto checker. He is our SPF 50 for the show. He can't stop us from going out there, but he makes sure we don't get burned. Notice Claude AI contributed to this episode. To get even, ask where it is going for summer vacation, because they don't get one. Support locally produced ad-free radio shows by donating at knvc.org by clicking the big red donate button at the top right corner and give Battleborn Tech a shout-out in the comments. Our email is questions@battleborn.tech. That's questions with an S and T-E-C-H at the end. Our latest links are bbtl.ink/stats. Get the links you missed there, STATS. BBTL.INK. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Carefully review this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at the show's website, battleborn.tech, or your favorite podcast player. Search for Battleborn Tech. That's all for Battleborn Tech. The fans are on, the day is cooling, and you've earned something that doesn't need a password. High Desert Music is next on KNVC 95.1, where the radio in the Great Basin puts aside the troubleshooting and starts the trouble-soothing. Podcast listeners, subscribe, dig back through the archive, or make the next show yours by calling 775-241-3571. That's 775-241-3571. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific right here on KNVC FM 95.1.